How you doing, Dave? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're starting Daf Zayin, I think. Daf 7 of Masechta Bava Metzia. Friends. Your friends, let me tell you, Epis. I'm probably going to fall asleep during today's Daf. Hope you're alright with that. Maybe I won't. Maybe I will. I didn't really sleep last night. I was traveling. I was in transit. And I reviewed this stuff when I was in transit. So I can't tell you for sure if I did a good job. So I think towards the end it gets a little confusing. Or at least I get a little confused. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Friends, let's do it. I feel like my mom is probably going to give me a critique that I probably shouldn't start the daf by saying that I'm going to fall asleep and that it's not good. That's not really what I meant. I don't know. Maybe it is what I meant. Maybe it's what I meant. But, yeah, maybe it's what I meant. Well, let's see what happens. Anyways, we're in the middle of, like, this kind of... How's Bav Metzia? Bav Metzia is not easy. It's not easy. All right. So we're in the middle of this, like, kind of... I don't even know what to call it. A thing. I don't even know what to call it. We're in the middle of, like, this thing. We had to stop in the middle of this thing about, like, Suffolk Miser Behema. When you hear Suffolk Miser Behema, how I don't know, enthusiastic do you get? Let's go back to fourth line of the daf. Zayin Amud Aleph, fourth line. My sphakis! Am I seriously doing this? What time is it? That clock is broken. This watch is right. It's 6:15 at night. Oh my gosh. Talking about sphakis. Well, yesterday we had a braise which said, Hasphakis nichnosun lodir lias aser. Okay? We said yesterday that sphakis could be included as part of the chevre when it comes to Meister Behema, right? So meaning you have 10 sheep or whatever. So you separate one of them as Meister Behema. So we're saying that even Sveikis can be included when it comes to Meister Behema. Even Sveikis, I hope I didn't just mess up the mic. Sorry. Even Sveikis would be included in Meister Behema. So the shaila is, what exactly are these Sveikis who were including in the Meister Behema? So again, so my sfeikis, what are these sfeikis? Them a suffik b'cheiris. If we're saying that if it's a suffik b'chor, like we had discussed yesterday, that you have, let's say, a sheep, or a, I think we call them an ewe. I think if an ewe gives birth, and we're not sure if the baby was the firstborn, or maybe there was already a firstborn. So it's a suffik b'chor. And the question, and we're saying that the suffik b'chor that gets mixed together with other animals, you would be included in my would be part of the ma'aser behema. But yiye kadosh omer achman of losha kvar kadosh. The thing is, if I understand correctly, I feel like there's been a lot of, if I understand correctly, recently, I don't know what to tell you. There's a lot of very technical stuff that I just can't be 100% sure that I'm right, but I'll just explain it as I understand it, or at least as I convinced myself that I understand it. But, yeah, I mean, nothing crazier. I think pshat is that, look, the Torah says, again, Yiyeh kadosh ha-rachmano v'lo shekvar kadosh. In order for it to be, right, and that's in the context of Ma'aser Behema. So, Okay, so yeah, kodesh amar achmanu v'lo shekvar kadosh, that it will be, right, that it will be holy, but not if it is already holy. Now a bechor is already holy from the time that it's born, and therefore, so the way I understand it is that, meaning the point is that It's a suffik bechor. We're not sure if it's a bechor. It might be a bechor. It might not be a bechor. If it is a bechor, well, then it wouldn't be shaykh to ma'aser behema. And therefore, and we said, right, what do we say? At the very top of the Amud, we said, asiri vadi amachman of lo asiri suffik. Right, that we don't include suffix when it comes to ma'aser behema. So I think pshat is that, kilu, since if it is a bechor, it would be potter from ma'aser behema. So then it can't be talking about, right, when we say that the sveikis are shaykh to ma'aser behema, it can't be talking about a suffix bechor. Elo, suffix, pigeon, peter, chomer. Rather, if you have, right, of course, the firstborn donkey needs to be redeemed for a sheep, and if not, then you kill it. So if you have this donkey that we're not sure if it's the firstborn or not, so therefore we're not sure if you should separate a sheep for peter chomer, for pigeon peter chomer, so out of suffolk you do it. And now this sheep that we're not sure if it's just a regular sheep or if it's pigeon peter chomer, it gets mixed together with other sheep, so it can be included in meiser behema. Uchdu Rav Nachman, and it's like Rav Nachman da Omar, Rav Nachman am Rabbi Barvua, Yisrael sheish la'asara sofik pitre chomer besoch beso, that if you have a guy who has 10 sofik peter chomers, 10 firstborn donkeys that we're not sure if they are actually firstborn or not. So mafishalein asara sayin, so just in case you would separate 10 sheep, and you would separate ma'aser behema vehein shelo. I assume means that then he can do whatever he wants with these donkeys. So when it comes to suffolk peter chomer, so even if it were to be an actual peter chomer, right, an actual firstborn donkey that was redeemed by a sheep, that sheep would be shaykh in ma'aser behema. So therefore, so this suffolk pigeon peter chomer, you would still be shaykh to ma'aser behema, because either way, even if it is a pigeon peter chomer, it would still be shaykh to ma'aser behema. All right, that was fun. So now going back to the bathtub, what's pshat with the bathtub? What's pshat with the bathtub? Right, we had asked about the bathtub. What did we ask about the bathtub? Well, we had asked if you have Reuven and Shimon fighting over a bathtub, and then one of them is makdishit. So then what? So what's pshat ultimately when it comes to the bathtub? Toshma coming here. Then we're b'chir bar oven. Says b'chir bar oven. Have a uvde. There was a scenario by Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda by Rav Huna. Rav Chisda asked Rav Huna. So it says Omar of Nachman, there's Agos Vitzunim, says Rav. I think Rav Taka makes more sense, because, you know, why would Rav Chisda and Rav Huna be asking Rav Nachman, who's a contemporary? It makes more sense that they would be asking Rav, who was their teacher. And it was Ufashim Adomar Rav, so they answer from that which Rav says, Kol Momin She'ein Yochol. I did this in the airport. I remember doing this in the airport last night. Kol Momin She'ein Yochol, well, reviewing it. Kol Momin She'ein Yochol Lo'tzio B'dayonin, any money that you would be unable to extract with judges, Hekdeisho Eino Kadosh. So you cannot be Makdashit. What does that mean? It means even if you would go to court, you would be unable to win the case because you don't have proof, right? In this case, Reuven and Shimon both have a claim to the bath. Nobody's got definitive proof. That's what they're arguing about. And therefore, since this is a scenario where they would be unable, right? Reuven or Shimon, either one, would be unable to make a claim, an objective claim against the other. They don't have such a claim. So they would be unable to be makdish the bath. Frekti Gemara, ha'eno yachol, where am I? Ha'yachol lo'tzio b'dayonin. One second. So does that mean that in a situation where one of them has a claim that they would be able to bring to Bezdin and win in Bezdin, Hekadesh or Kadosh, so then they would be able to be Maktashit? Even though they didn't actually go to Bezdin, Rabbi Yochanan says, we saw this Masechta Bavikame and Kiddushin. Sorry, one second. Nose rubbing. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, Gozov lo nisyayishu abaylim chev. Do you remember this? Gozov lo nisyayishu abaylim. Shimon steals epis from Ruvain. Or he steals a sheep from Ruvain. And Ruvain never gave up hope. Shneim einam yucholim lakdisho. Neither one of them could be makdish the animal. Zelefi she'eno she'elov, zelefi she'eno b'shuso. Shimon can't be makdish it because it doesn't belong to him. Reuven can't be makdish it because it's not currently in his possession. So therefore, how could Rav say that whenever you could be motzi it b'dayonim, or you know, if you cannot be motzi with b'dayonim, then you cannot be makdish it, implying that if you can be motzi with b'dayonim, you can be makdish it. But here we have a scenario where Reuven can go to court and get his sheep back, and yet we're saying that he cannot be makdashit since he doesn't currently have it. So here's a scenario where you can be motzi b'dayonim, but still it won't be hekdish. So and for the gemara, misavet b'masusa mitaltlin oskinon. Do you think that we're talking about a bath that is like that is movable, just like a bathtub? But masusa mekarkoi oskinon, we're talking about karke, actual property. That in a scenario where you would be able to extract it by in court, right? So for example, if like Reuven had documentation that this property is his, so then you know, karka in exelis, which meaning if Shimon would have stolen it, so it doesn't belong to Shimon. If it belongs to Reuven, when it comes to karka, so then in a scenario, when it comes to karka, in a scenario where he would be able to win his claim in Bezdin, so then he would be able to be makdish it when it comes to karka. Okay, where are we? Excuse me. Just a little babble yawn. Okay, what did we get up to? Okay, we made some progress. Tony, Rav Tachlifa by my Rove, Kame de Babo. Rav Tachlifa by my Rove taught before Babo Shnaim Adukim Bitalis. You have two guys, let's call them Reuven and Shimon, and they're both holding on to the talis. Okay. Zenotel ad mokum sheyodo magas. Zenotel ad mokum sheyodo magas. So Reuven, you know, receives whatever he's holding on to. Shimon receives whatever part of the talis he's holding on to. Vashar cholkim b'shave. And then neither one of them is holding on to, they divide up equally. Mach ve'le rababo uveshvue. If I remember correctly, Rababo, he basically, you know, points heavenwards and saying, I think the point is that, yes, I agree, uveshvue, but they would have to swear. El masnisin de katani de palge ba'adode v'lo katani ze no ta'ad mokum shodo magas heichim mishkachasa. So then what's pshat with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah talks about shnayim ochsim batalas, and they said that Reuven and Shimon divided up equally. Not that each one would take the part that they're holding on to. No, they just divide the whole thing in half. So I'm repopi de tafise bikarkashte. So our Mishnah, where they divide the whole garment in half, it's talking about where they're just holding on to like the fringes. So Mishashi says that from the fact that each one gets whatever he's holding on to, so Shmamino hai sudre, when it comes to Kenyan suder, when it comes to Kenyan suder, a Kenyan chalifin, Kenyan chalifin, whatever. Shimon gives a cloth to Reuven. Reuven picks up the cloth, and by Reuven picking up the cloth, his cow now belongs to Shimon. So came the tofes bay shalish al shalish. Once Reuven holds on to a part of the cloth that's three etzbos, I believe, by three etzbos, so then So Karin and Bev Nosan Rei Ayu, so we call it from the Pasuk in Rus that we learn of Kinyan Khalifin that he gives it to his friend Dichman the Pasuk Domi Vikoni. And because it's considered like it's already separated from the rest of the garment and he's Kona. Meaning, wow, how does the Kinyan Khalifin work? Shimon wants to be Kona Ruvain's cow. Okay? Shimon wants to be Kona Ruvain's cow. And the way that they're going to do this is with a Kinyan Khalifin. What does that mean? It means that Shimon takes a cloth, gives it to Ruvain. Ruvain picks up the cloth, making a Kinyan on the cloth. And when Ruvain picks up the cloth, then his cow now goes to, right, Shimon gets the cloth, his cow now goes to Ruvain. So once what the heck did I just say? I have no clue. Reuven's cow is going to Shimon. Shimon gives Ruvain a cloth. Ruvain picks up the cloth. His cow then goes to Shimon. So we're saying that when Shimon gives Ruvain the cloth, even if it's a bigger cloth, once already he holds on to a part of the cloth that's 3 finger breadths by 3 finger breadths, so it's considered like he made a kinyan on that portion of the cloth. Forget about the rest of the cloth. He made a kinyan on that portion of the cloth, and then that's enough for the kinyan khalifin. Okay. Umayshno ad Rav Chisda. Why is this any different than Rav Chisda? Dom Rav Chisda says, Rav Chisda, get biyado umeshicha biyado, that if his wife is holding the get, but it's attached to a string and he's holding the string. Sounds like an interesting activity. So she's holding the get, he's holding a string. Im yochol nasko la'avio etzlo, if he would be able to give a tug to the string and the get would come to him, in a migoreshes, she is not divorced. Vim lav migoreshes, if he would be unable to just give a tug to the string and get the get back, so then she is divorced. So the shaila is that based on what we're saying, once she holds on to even part of the document, it should be hers. Why are we saying that in this case it's not a good get if he could give it a yank and get it back? Saying for the Gemara, no, that's for an under azach. That's an under a reason. Hosom krisus bo'inon veleka. The thing is, when it comes to get, there's an ad. It's not just about kinyan; it's about krisus. And there has to be a separation that by that this get breaks off the marriage. It's not exactly breaking off if he's still holding it onto it with a string that he can give a yank to. So awesome krisus bo'inon veleka hocha. But over here, by Shnei Moichsim Betalis, or I assume we're talking about Shnei Moichsim Betalis, Hocha Nisino Bo'inon, or maybe Taka we're saying by like Kinin Khalifin, Nisino Bo'inon, we need Nisina giving it, Va'ika, and once you give the garment, and he holds on to part of it, so he has it. Rava says, Rava, he said, Talis Muzheves Cholkin, says Rava, that if it was a golden talis, they would divide it. Pshita, that's obvious. Who cares what color, what it's made out of? So Tzricha Dekoi Daiva Bey Mitzeh. It's talking about, well, it's a gold, it's like a gold strip in the middle of the garment. Hanam Pshita, well, that's also obvious. They'll divide the whole garment, including the gold strip in the middle. Tzricha Demikayev Degabi Dechad Dechad. Well, it's talking about where the gold strip was closer to one of them. Ma'udatema may have thought to say, Domele plog hochi. So I may have thought to say, divide it this way, Kamashma domele maichosis de pagasochi plog hochi. Why are you dividing it this way? Divide it that way. Shnikes. I don't know. It's not that hard, I guess. I don't know. I'm just going to explain it and hopefully you'll get it. Well, imagine like you have a garment. Imagine you have like a talis, like a prayer shawl, right? So imagine like this talus, and the design of a talus is that there's just like one stripe going through the middle of it, and that stripe is closer to one of them. So if they divide it up equally, so that stripe will be in one of their portions and not the other. But the thing is, if you were to divide it up perpendicularly, well then even if the stripe was closer to one than the other, if you're like But if you're dividing it perpendicularly, then each one's still going to get half of it. Did that make sense? Hopefully. All right, so far I'm still awake. So far I'm still mostly awake. Okay, Chevet, here comes a Brisit. Here comes a Brisit. Mamish, I'm telling you, I started learning this daf. Where was I when I started reviewing this daf? I don't know. But Mamish, I was like studying this daf in a lot of different places. Where was I when I started studying this daf? I don't know. Maybe in a layover in Prague. Maybe I started studying it there. I can't remember. But I remember this part of the daf. Where was I doing this? I don't know. Maybe on the plane or while I was like waiting to board or something. Maybe. And then by the end of the daf, I was like mamish at the train station in Yerushalayim. I was mamish like, you know, learning on the train the whole way back, and then going up the escalators with the like I was like I finished the daf going up the escalator in Yitzhak Navon train station in Jerusalem. So let's see. All right, Tana Rabbana the Rabbis touch name Adukin Bishtar. Okay, so you got these two guys. And they're holding on to the document. Malva Omer Shaliu, the lender says it's mine. V'nafal mimeni umitzosiv, and it fell and I found it. V'love Omer, let's just call the Malve Shimon and the Love Reuven. Reuven the borrower, Shimon the lender. V'love Omer, Reuven the borrower says, Shelchahu, sure, yeah, it is your document. That's correct. You lent me $1,000. That is the document that I wrote to you that says that I owe you $1,000. Uf, right, Tivlecha. The problem is, I had already paid you back. Yes, I agree. That is a real document. It's a real document that has already been paid back and is therefore useless, unusable, unclaimable. Yiskayim Ashtar b'chosom of the Rebbe says, so be mekayim the shtar with the signatures. It sounds like, for now, right? Initially, it sounds like what Rebbe is saying is that if you can be mekayim the shtar, well then, Reuven will still have to pay it. Shimon ben Gamliel, Rebbe's father, Shimon ben Gamliel says, Yachloku, let them divide it. Right. We found this document. Reuven's claiming he already paid it back. They're both fighting over it. So let Reuven pay Shimon half of it. Nafal liyad dayin, continues the Braisa, if the document fell into the hands of a judge, lo yotzio olamis, well then, neither one of them will get it forever. Rabbi Yosi says, Rabbi Yosi arei u b'chezkoso, it is in his possession. I think the possession of Shimon, the lender. Wow. Okay, that was a kind of abstract brisa. We're going to delve into it now. Omer Mar, we just said, Yiskay Mashar b'chosomov. So v'gabi lei malve kule. So Rebbe had said, or at least we think that what Rebbe had said, is that Rebbe had said, Yiskayim Ashtar Bechosamu. So Reuven and Shimon are both fighting over this document. Shimon says, you know, this is my document. Reuven says it was your document, but it's already been paid. So Rebbe had said, Yiskayim Ashtar Bechosamu, that be Mekayim the witnesses of the document. Vigobile malve kule. And then, once the document has been validated, so then Shimon can collect the full $1,000. Vilesle masnisin shnaim oichzin kule. But doesn't Rebbe hold of our Mishnah shnaim oichzin betalis, they divide it? So Amarova, Amarav Nachmin, bimikuyim divihakol yachloku. That if it's a shtar mekuyim, if it's a shtar mekuyim, right, if they are able to, I'm like tired enough that, this is a complicated gemara because there's a lot of moving pieces. There's Rebbe, there's Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, then there's like the Seifa, that's the Reisha, then there's the Seifa, there's the Tanakam of the Seifa, there's Rebbe Yossi, and you have to remember who says what, and I feel like my brain is just, I'm not falling asleep yet, and I haven't lost my short-term memory yet, but it's like, requires a certain brain performance that my brain is, okay, got to push through the mush. Okay, hopefully I can do that. So what did Rebbe say? Rebbe said, Yiskai Mishtar B'chosamav, okay, then he can collect it. Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says, Yachloku, they divide it. They divide. Okay, fine. So we want to assume that what Rebbe is saying is that if he could be Mekayim the Shtar and validate it, so then Shimon would be able to collect all of it. So now what about our Mishnah that says that they divide it? So Amarav Nachman B'mekuyim, look, if they could be Mekayim the Shtar and validate the document, well then that is not the Machlokas. Divri Akol, everybody would agree Yachloku. If they could validate the document, so it's definitely a valid document. The thing is that Reuven is saying that he paid it back already. Look, Shimon's got a valid document that says that he's owed $1,000 by Reuven. Reuven claims he paid it back. We have no way to know. So they divide it. Ki plige, where there's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, where Rebbe Shimon Gamliel says divide it, and Rebbe actually says that Shimon gets nothing. Ki plige b'she'enu mekuyim. Where they argue is that where the document has not been validated. Rebbe holds moda b'shtar sheksavo tzarich l'kaimo, that even though Reuven is admitting that it's a valid document, however, he's saying that he's paid it back. And therefore, even though he's admitting that it's a valid document, that he wrote it, you would still need to be mekayim that shtar. It's not enough to say, it's not enough to admit that you wrote the document, you would still have to be mekayim it. Ve'im mekayim le'polik. And if then he could validate the document by its witnesses, so then they will divide it in half. And if the document will not be validated with witnesses, lo polig, then they will not divide. Then they will simply not divide it at all. My time chas ba'amu, because if they don't validate it with witnesses, then it's just like a piece of pottery. It's nothing. It's nothing relevant. It's nothing important. Man kamashvide laishtor love, because after all, who's the one who's saying, right? Who's the one who's being mode? It's the love, it's the borrower. The borrower is saying, yeah, I admit, I wrote this document, but al ka'amar defriya, but at the same time, the borrower is saying that he already paid it. So therefore, if they can't be mekayim the shtar with the witnesses, so then Shimon, the lender, will get nothing. If they could be mekayim it with witnesses, so then they will divide it. Reb Shimon Gamliel sover, whereas Rebbe's father of Shimon Gamliel holds moda b'shtar sheksavo ain tzarich l'kaimo, that once Reuven admits that he wrote the document, you don't need to validate it anymore. You don't need to be mekayim it. V'afagavdulo mekayim le yachloku, and even though they were not mekayim it, they didn't validate it merely from the fact that Reuven admits that he wrote it, They will divide it in half. So that's the machlokus between Rebbe and his father, Reb Shimon Gamliel, that, look, everyone, they both agree that if the document has been validated, so then Reuben and Shimon would divide it in half. Where Rebbe and Reb Shimon Gamliel differ is, if they were not Mekayim, the Shtar, if they did not validate the document, but Reuben had admitted that he wrote the document. So the shaila is moda b'shtar sheksavu tzarich l'kaimo or not. Rebbe says moda b'shtar sheksavu tzarich l'kaimo, and so long as you haven't been mekayim, so Reuven Shimon won't collect anything. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel says moda b'shtar sheksavu ein tzarich l'kaimo, you do not need to be mekayim it. And therefore, if Reb Shimon Gamliel says, look, if Reuven is admitting that he wrote the document, so then they would already divide it in half. I wish us luck on this next part, because I think it's getting a little, this part I think is going to get pretty confusing. I just think my brain is not exactly in top form. All right. Where are we? Okay. Avagadz little kaim le yachloku. Nafal liad dayin lo yotzio olamis. If the document ends up by a judge, well then nobody will get it ever. Mashna liad dayin. What's so special about a judge that if the document ends up in the hands of a judge, then nobody will, neither Reuven nor Shimon will be able to get it. Amarav says Rav Achikoma, this is what it's saying. And if somebody else finds the document, if somebody else, a third party, Levi, finds this document, if somebody else, a third party, finds this document, and it's clear that the document had already been to Beis Din, and Beis Din already had signed off on it, there was a henpik on it. There was an addendum on it that the witnesses came to Beis Din and they testified, yes, these are our signatures, this is a valid document, and Beis Din signs off on it and says that, yes, we vouch that this is a valid document. And now Levi finds this document, a third party finds this document. So, ve'acher shamotzo shta shenofali adayin ve'chidomi dechosu behenpik, that there's an addendum on it in which the judges validate the document and say, yes, we can vouch for its validity. Lo yotzio olamis. In that case, neither Reuven nor Shimon can get it because we don't know if it's been paid or not, right? Because if you give it to Shimon, he's going to try to collect with it again, but maybe it's been paid. If you give it to Reuven, he'll just tear it up. So therefore, we have to just hold on to it until Eliyahu HaNavi comes. It's going to be a long line by Eliyahu HaNavi. All right. I don't know, maybe they'll have a better system. Okay, so then neither one of them will get it. And certainly if there's no addendum on it, if there's no addendum on it, if there's no validation of the court on the document, of course neither one of them should get it back because maybe they wrote the document because the loan was going to take place, but it never did take place. So therefore, Levi, if he finds the document, we just hold on to it. What? Where am I? Vlomi boya lo kosov be enpik te ika lememar kosov lilvos vlo lava ela afilu kosov be enpik. But even if there is this addendum written on it, demikuyim, and that vouches that it's a valid document, lo yachzir, do not return it neither to Reuven nor to Shimon, dechayshinon leperon, because we're concerned that maybe Reuven has already paid back Shimon, and if the document is given back to Shimon, he's going to try to double dip and get paid again. Reb Yossi Omer says, Reb Yossi, arei b'chez koso. Reb Yossi says, no, you can give it back to Shimon, v'lo chashin in the Pharaon, and we're not concerned that maybe Reuven paid him back. Okay. V'lo chayish Reb Yossi the Pharaon. Okay, this implies, though, that Reb Yossi is not concerned that maybe Reuven paid back Shimon already, right? Because Reb Yossi says, just give the document to Shimon, right? You find this document, it's been validated in Beis Din, give it to Shimon. What about the fact that maybe Reuven already paid him back? We're not concerned about that. So it sounds like what Rebbe is saying is lo chayish l'firon. The Rebbe is not concerned about a scenario that Reb Yossi is not concerned about a scenario where the document has already been paid back and therefore it can go back to Shimon. V'atanya, but is that really the case? But we learn in the Brisa, motzah shtar ksube bashuk. If a fellow finds a ksubas isha in shuk machni yudah, b'sman sh'abal modeh, so if the husband says, oh yeah, that's my wife's ksuba, you know, it hasn't been paid, you know, you can give it back. So yachzir l'isha, so give it to the wife. Ein abal mode. But if the husband does not say, oh yeah, that's my wife's ksube, lo yachzir, lo loze v'lo loze, well then neither one gets it. Neither one of them gets it, right? They can't give it to her because maybe it's already been paid. Because maybe it's already been paid. Okay, if we don't give it to him either, because I guess, I don't know, maybe then I'll like tear it up or something. Okay. Rabbi Yossi Omer says, Rabbi Yossi, Oda Tachas Baila, if they're still married, so you can give it back to her. I mean, if they're still married, I mean, you can probably assume that the ksuba hasn't been paid. And you can just give it back to her. And Sa'im Lo Nizgasha, but if she was widowed or divorced, Lo Yachzer, Lo Lozav, Lo Lozav, then give it back to neither one of them. Right? Because again, we have to be concerned that maybe it's already been paid. So it sounds like, I think this is going to be important. So I think it sounds like both according to the Chacham and according to Rabbi Yossi, they're Chashin and the Pharaoh, right? Meaning the Chacham had said that in the Reisha, that where he claims it's already been paid, so we don't give it back to her because maybe it has already been paid. And Rabbi Yossi is also concerned that if they got divorced, you can't give her back the ksuba because maybe it's already been paid. So how could we say in our brisa where you have a loan document with Reuven and Shimon it's been validated and Rabbi Yossi says give it back to Shimon, but shouldn't we be, he seems to be saying in the brisa that he's not concerned that it's already been paid, and yet when it comes to when you find a ksuba, Rabbi Yossi says, look, if they're divorced, you can't give it back to either one of them. Because, you know, what if you give it to her and she's going to try to collect with it again, it's already been paid. So on the one hand, in our brisa, he's not concerned that it's already been paid. But by the ksuba, he is concerned that it's already been paid. Ipuch. So, okay, let's flip it around. Nofali adayin lo yotzio olam es divrei Rabbi Yossi. That Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that if you find this document that says that Shimon lent Reuven $1,000 and it's been validated in Beis Din, Rabbi Yossi is the one who says that neither one of them can get it because we're concerned about that maybe it was already paid back, just like by the Ksuba. Rabbi Yossi says that if they're divorced, then neither one of them gets it because maybe it's already been paid. The Chacham say, "Arei ubichazkoson." But the Chacham are the ones who say that. Well, this document that says that Shimon lent Reuven money has been validated, so you can give it to Shimon, and we're not concerned about Peron that it's been paid back. Yochi kasha derabanan derabanan. But if that's the case, well, then the rabbis seem to have this same question, right? Because the rabbis seem to be saying that if with Reuven and Shimon and the loan, so the document has been validated. The rabbis, in this version, the rabbis are saying, just give it back to Shimon. And we're not concerned that it's already been paid back. And yet, the rabbis had said in the Brisa by the Ksube, that if he says it's already been paid back, then we can't give it to her because we're concerned that, right, that it's already paid back. So on the one hand, in the Brisa, the rabbis are not concerned about Peron, right, in our Brisa of Reuben and Shimon in the loan. But when it comes to Ksuba, they are concerned that maybe it's already been paid back. So Shtaksuba Kula Rabbi Yossi. So actually, the Brisa about the Ksuba is entirely Rabbi Yossi. So I believe that we're sticking to saying that Rabbi Yossi, that we flip around the Brisa by Reuven and Shimon. We say that it's Rabbi Yossi who says that if it's been validated, so neither one of them gets it because we're concerned that it's already been paid back. And this brisa regarding the ksuba that's found, where we're concerned about it having already been paid back, is like Rabbi Yossi. It's all Rabbi Yossi. The brisa is missing a few words. This is how you teach it. Ein abal mode, that if the husband says that it's already been paid back, lo yachzer lo lozav lo lozav, that we return the ksuba to neither the husband nor the wife because we're concerned that it's already been paid. But when do we say this? That's only if they've been divorced or she's been widowed. Aval oda tachas bailo yachzur leisha de Rabbi Yosi. That, but if they are still married, then you give it back to the wife because they're still married. So she gets back her ksuba. Said in the event of divorce or death, she would be able to collect the Rabbi Yosi Omer. Rabbi Yosi says oda tachas bailo yachzur leisha. That so long as they're married, she can get back her ksuba. Nisaim lo niskasha lo yachzur lo loze v'lo loze. But if they get divorced or she gets widowed, so then neither one of them gets it. If Papa says, or Papa olam lo tepo, but Papa says, don't flip anything around. Don't flip around our brisa. Rather, the rabbis say that when this loan document is validated, so then neither Reuven nor Shimon get it, because they're concerned about Peron. And Rabbi Yossi says, you can give it back to Shimon. Rabbi Yossi, the Divreim, the Rabbanon, Ko'omalu. Rabbi Yossi was really just responding to the rabbis. Ladidi, look, according to me, I feel in a Simulo. So, Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa by the Ksuba was just responding to the rabbis. He says, look, according to me, I feel in a Simulo and his Garsha Nami, even if she would have been widowed or divorced. Nami lo chashim l'feiron, we are not concerned that the ksuba has already been paid, right? Even if they're already divorced, we're not concerned that the ksuba has already been paid. Just like Rabbi Yossi says by Reuven and Shimon in the loan document, we're not concerned that Reuven has already paid and Shimon gets it back. But l'didchu, but according to you rabbis who are concerned about peiron, odu limios, at least admit to me, b'odu tachas baila, that so long as they are married the Yachzur Lisha, that at least then you'd be able to give it back. Dilav bas peroni, you can give it back to the wife because she wouldn't have gotten paid her ksuba when they're still married. From the Rabbanon, whereas the Rabbanon say, actually, emor tsarei atpiso. You could say that actually it could be talking about a scenario where he had already designated in advance, I guess, property. Or, right, meaning, already designated in advance the payment for her ksuba, because he wanted that in the event that if he dies and she becomes a widow, she won't have to deal with, like, the heirs to claim her ksuba. He had already set her aside things for her ksuba, in which case, it's be'etzim already been paid, right? The document is no longer relevant. So therefore, the rabbis say that if you find this document, don't, right, even if they're still married, don't return it to her because maybe he had already set aside stuff for her ksuba. Ravina Amar says, Ravina la'olam ipuch kamaisa. Really, I will flip around the first braisa and say that it's Rabbi Yossi who's concerned about peiron. It says neither one of them get it by the Reuven and Shimon loan. And it's the Chacham who say that just give it back to Shimon. Where am I? La'olam ipuch kamaisa. V'taymi d'rabbanon hocho. And the reason why the rabbis say by the ksuba, right? So we're saying that the rabbis say that we're not concerned about peiron, but the reason why the rabbis are concerned about peiron by the ksuba, mishum dechashin l'shtei ksubas, because we're concerned. Well, maybe there were two ksubas, and maybe then it'll double collect. Rabbi Yossi l'shtei ksubas lo chayish, whereas Rabbi Yossi is not concerned about two. Ksubas. That when Rabbi Yossi says that even if they're married, you can return the ksuba to the wife, so he's not concerned about two ksubas. Friends, that was Zayin Masechta, Bov Metzia, Ovin Joy Pisah.